Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So I'm going to get it twisted.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, 7 p.m. You know what time it is. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me. Of course, the usual, you can get at me on Twitter. You can tweet me at R. Kelly Show, and it's on Facebook. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Thanks, everybody, for joining me this evening. Wow. All right, Hillary Trump 3 coming up this evening around 9 o'clock, I believe it is. And the Bertha Movement is back again. The Bertha Movement is back. Donald Trump. Yeah, and, you know, this is the most embarrassing thing you ever seen. This political sideshow, I guess you can call it. It's got to be the most. It's the most embarrassing thing you have ever seen, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Also, you know, the New York City Police Department killed an unarmed mentally ill 66-year-old woman last night. Can you say Eleanor Bumpers? And facial recognition software, did you know you were on it? But it's all the other news right here this evening, on the Ron Kelly Show. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me today. All right, it's Hillary Three, and you know, the shenanigans just continue and continue. More shenanigans. You know, you have Trump inviting his one of Obama's half brothers, from Kenya. So the Bertha, and as I always suspected, the Bertha Movement is still going on. It never stopped. The Bertha Movement continues. Trump, trying to be slick, has invited Obama's brother, Malik Obama, from Kenya. By the way, Obama's brother, or half brother, I should say, is supporting Donald Trump. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. As I said a little bit earlier, the NYPD killed an unarmed mentally ill 66-year-old senior, a woman who just had a baseball bat. Now, what is she going to do? How much of a swing could a 66-year-old woman have? Now, I know, of course, you're not going to stand and let her hit you with the bat, but could something else have been done? So we'll talk about that. And again, facial recognition software. You know, there's more than half of the United States of America is on this facial recognition software that the police and the law enforcement officers in different departments, FBI primarily, this is what they have. So we'll talk about that as well. And we'll take your phone calls through here, 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. You know, it's actually a poll that was taken. There was a poll that was taken about would you rather have a meteor hit the Earth and destroy it, or have Hillary or Trump as your and I can't believe somebody actually took this poll, but this is the poll that was taken. And I'll give you the numbers in a second, but I mean, can you believe this? The poll asks the question, would you rather have a meteor hit the Earth and destroy it, or have Trump and or Hillary as your running mate, as the president of the United States? And it's just ridiculous. So I'm going to give you the numbers in a second here, as soon as I pull them up, everybody. And once again. Now, 13% of a poll that was taken. Now, this poll, all right, here we go. 13% prefer meteor hitting Earth over Clinton or Trump. Now, 1 in 10 voters say they prefer giant meteor hitting Earth over supporting Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Now, the left-leaning public policy polling the PPP, offered the hypothetical giant media option in the latest survey. Now, 43% picked Clinton, 38% picked Trump, and 13% picked the giant media hitting Earth. So I guess the choices were Hillary, Trump, or a giant media hitting the Earth. And 7% was unsure. Now, how could you not be unsure whether you want to have Hillary, Trump, or a meteor? It's just so ridiculous. How can you, how in the world can you not be able to choose between Hillary, 38%, Hillary, 43%, 38%, and 13% picked the giant media hit Earth. Another 7% were unsure. Now, the giant media has support across the ideological spectrum, with 23% support among somewhat or liberal voters, 16% among moderate voters, and 21% among somewhat or very conservative voters. So, I mean, I would have to take a look in the mirror. If I was one of them, and the percentage of the people surveyed would rather have a meteor hit the Earth. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing, I think. But anyway, this just shows you the unpopularity of, the unpopularity of both Secretary Clinton and Donald Trump. You know, so here we go with the shenanigans once again. Donald Trump is has invited Trump's. I mean, he invited Obama's. Donald Trump has invited President Obama's half brother, Malik Obama. Now, Malik Obama is supporting Donald Trump, and he invited Trump. He invited Obama's. Now, can you imagine? He invited Obama's brother or half brother to the debate. And he also this is the part I have a problem with. What he also did was he invited Patricia Hill. Patricia Hill, who's a relative of one of the men who were killed in Benghazi. This is just like, you know, I just don't understand how. Oh man, this is just the worst, life's most embarrassing moments here with this. I hate when that happens. But here's the deal. All right, Donald Trump is bringing President Barack Obama's Kenyan-born half brother, I should say. What's wrong with me today? Malik Obama to Wednesday's third and final presidential debate. Now, Clinton has invited two billionaires, I guess they're calling them real billionaires, who are backing her campaign, you know, and what may be an attempt to rattle Republican nominee Trump by subtly questioning his own net worth. Now, Meg Whitman, who's the Hewlett-Packard CEO and former California gubernatorial candidate, and Mark Cuban, the outspoken billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks, will both be Clinton's guests at Wednesday's third and final debate. Meanwhile, Trump is countering with Obama's half-brother and a ghost from Clinton's past, Patricia Smith, who is the mother of Benghazi victim Sean Smith, who has accused the former Secretary of State of murdering her son. Now, you know, this is like just the most outrageous nonsense we got going on here. And once again, the people are left behind. The people of the United States of America are left behind. Because once again, there'll be no talk of issues. There'll be no talk of taxes, of immigration. Even though I understand that the moderator, Chris Wallace from Fox, is going to be asking certain questions. But once again, those questions won't get answered. So this is probably going to be like, you know, I know Hillary's been practicing and she's been boning up her performance for the last few days, last 5 days actually, and she's been putting her thing together. And Trump is, you know, the national surveys have Trump behind by 6 or 7 points. So, you know, Trump is going to be throwing out Trump is going to be going for it. Now, the latest poll, from Bloomberg 14 hours ago has Hillary over Trump by 9 percentage points. That's what it is right now. 9 percentage points. And the trajectory, this shows, well, what's happening right now is it's showing that the Hillary Clinton will have a landslide in the Electoral College at the way it goes right now. Hillary Clinton leads Trump by 9 percentage points in the survey of likely voters taken after a leaked video prompted a series of women to come forward alleging the Republican made unwanted sexual advances. Now, all of this is just, me personally, I really don't care about any of this stuff. I don't care about these emails, and I really don't care about Trump's sexual preferences. I really don't care. You know, what I do care about is North Korea making threats every other day. I do care about Russia flying their aircraft close to Navy ships. I do care about whoever the culprit is in Yemen who's shooting missiles at U.S. Navy ships. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the economy. I'm worried about immigration. I'm concerned about taxes. See, these are the things that I'm concerned about. You see, since Trump and Hillary won their respective primaries, there's been no talk about any of this stuff. I mean, not any serious talk. It's been Benghazi. It's been emails. It's been Trump. Is he a billionaire? Is he going to release his tax returns? You know, everything that doesn't, I don't give a damn about. And most of the American public doesn't care about. I mean, is it good theater? Yeah. I mean, does it make for a good, soap opera nonsense? Yeah, sure it does. But, there's a lot of things that need to be talked about. There's a lot of things that need to be talked about that are not being talked about. And we need to get to that stuff. We need to get to it, and we need to get to it fast. All right, everybody, the phone number here is 646-668-2838, 646-668-2838. And it's funny, you see how Trump snuck the Bertha movement back in. So this is the direct Bertha movement moment right here with Donald Trump inviting President Obama's half-brother, Malik Obama, who was born in Kenya, I believe. This is a direct swipe at President Obama with more of the Bertha stuff. Now, Trump was pushed by the right-wingers and from mostly the left-wing and right-wing to disavow this nonsense about President Obama not being born in Kenya. And he finally did come forth. He appeared on television and he made the statement after being pushed and pushed and pushed. He looked like somebody who had an arm twisted up behind their back. You know, that's the way he did it, like reluctantly. And it was very insincere. And as it turns out, it was completely insincere because he invited Obama's brother to the debate. Now, who cares? Well, Obama's not even in the race. Obama is packing his bags. He'll be out of there in January. So what difference does it make? Why do you want to invite Obama's brother? And the same thing for Hillary Clinton. Why did you invite Meg Whitman, who's a Republican, actually, wealthy from the Whitman candy empire, and she's also the Hewlett Packard CEO, Hewlett Packard, the computer that I'm using right now. And they're both inviting other people who have nothing to do with this. Mark Cuban, and I like Mark Cuban. I got nothing against Mark Cuban at all. But this is an issue. Why would you invite them? I mean, what? Why would you invite them? It doesn't make any sense. But this is where the campaign has gone. It's gone. It's not about issues. It's not about Russia. It's not about China. It's not about taxes, immigration, the economy, border patrol, border security. It's not about Syrian refugees. It's not about none of that stuff. Entitlements. I mean, I can go on and on and on about what they need to be talking about, but they're not talking about it. They're talking about nonsense. And I'm not just Trump, Hillary too. It's all about nonsense. And we need to stop this garbage and move on. All right. Tweet me, everybody. Let me bring my Twitter page up. You can tweet me, R. Kelly Show. if you care to. And also on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. You can do that as well. I mean, bring my Facebook page up as well. All right, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And the phone number here is 646-668-2838. And people are constantly telling me that I say the number too fast, so I'll slow it down for you. 646-668-2838. 646-668-2838. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. So here's what we're doing every weeknight, everybody. In case you don't know, we just recently started this. Every weeknight, 7 p.m., it's the Ron Kelly Show. Now, you know, this guy, Pastor Mark Burns, you know, and I'm going to get to everything I said I was going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get there. But Pastor Mark Burns, you know, who was caught, Pastor Mark Burns, this African-American, who's supposed to be a Trump surrogate, Pastor Mark Burns. This is Pastor, now, mind you, Pastor Mark Burns, who has been out there and has been advocating for Donald Trump. Now, he's Donald Trump's most vocal African-American surrogate. And Mark Burns, South Carolina Pastor Mark Burns, has admitted that he exaggerated his college and military service records and accused media of attacking him. Now, this is what always happens. It's the media's fault. The mainstream media, the media is in cahoots with Hillary Clinton and so on and so forth. Just total, complete nonsense. He accused the media of attacking him because he's a black man. I saw in some of my LinkedIn folks who might be listening to the program, I know you all hate me and you probably don't want to listen to my show, but you're listening anyway, right? And white folks will be down with you as long as you're down with what they want to talk about. And I'm not talking about all white people, but a lot of them, they're down with Pastor Mark Burns no matter what, because he's saying what they want him to say. Now, his website, Burns Harvest Praise and Worship Center in Easley, South Carolina, had said he holds a bachelor's degree, right? And he served in the Army Reserve. But Burns was instead a member of his state's National Guard. He was a member of the National Guard, not the Army Reserve, and never completed college, only one semester at North Greenville University, which sounds like a community college. Now, he did eventually own up to padding that resume. Now, he said, as a young man starting my church in Greenville, South Carolina, I overstated several details of my biography because I was worried I wouldn't be taken seriously as a new pastor. So you're a pastor, and to start out to start out in your pastoral, you lied. That's a heck of a way to start. Now, he said it was wrong. I wasn't truthful in it. I have to take full responsibility for my actions. But he blamed media bias for the report. It's a shame the political insiders and the media chose to attack me. I'm just so sick of this nonsense about, you know, the media. I mean, the media, this is what happens when you gain a little fame. You know, it happens to everybody. It's going to happen to me eventually. You know, but I'm going to tell the truth about everything. But it's going to happen to me eventually where people will be scrutinizing me as a radio personality. Eventually it is going to happen. I have full faith in that. But this whole thing is just you can't make this stuff up. And you know, you have black people for Trump, and I'm not going to say, you know, everybody has their own, you know, I can't say that, you know, that they shouldn't vote for Trump or African Americans shouldn't support Trump. If that's what you want to do it. You know, but don't see the problem. You don't want to support the other side because, I mean, you know, support the other side. Take a look at all the candidates and the other two candidates who are polling in the single digits, whatever. But don't jump ship just because there's a problem. I mean, figure out what it is, vote your conscience, and try to do the right thing. Don't just go for Trump because he's the alternate. You know, don't just go for Hillary. You know, try to figure out exactly what you want to do. We'll take a break and we'll come right back with more of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudge nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over. Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
To the Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right. Yes, indeed. We're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com every weeknight, 7 p.m. We are here, and we broadcast a show once a week, I believe, on Periscope. What we'll be doing, we won't broadcast it every day, but we'll broadcast it as I see fit once a week for now. On Periscope. And there's more to come. We got more to talk about in regards to the Clinton Trump and what I think they're going to do. But I want to talk about this story that I stumbled upon today about this 66-year-old woman. The New York City Police Department. For those of you across the country, we are show first broadcast from New York and New York metropolitan area. Now. The cop who fatally shot the schizophrenic Bronx woman broke the New York Police Department's isolate and contain rule for the mentally ill. Now, this woman, Deborah Danner, 66, was killed Tuesday evening in a showdown inside her Castle Hill apartment. Now, the Sergeant Hugh Barry was stripped of his badge and gun after he fired two bullets into this woman. Now, this is something now, and she didn't have a gun. And I don't mean to smile everybody who's watching on Periscope. Thanks, everybody, for watching. But this woman, Deborah Danner, was 66 years old, and she was schizophrenic, and she was known to be schizophrenic because the police had been there before. So they knew. They knew that this woman was schizophrenic, and they killed her. Now, Mayor de Blasio has said that the He says that he fatally bungled his confrontation with a mentally ill Bronx woman. The shooting of Deborah Danner is tragic and it is unacceptable, the mayor declared Wednesday. This should never have happened. It's as simple as that. Deborah Danner should be alive right now, period. See, now the problem I have with some of the follow-up, some of the other things that were said by the police, benevolent associations. I just have a problem with it. You know, this woman was black and she was mentally ill. And, you know, I just have a problem with some of the things that were said by, like, the sergeant, the head of the sergeant's benevolent association. I just really have a problem with that. So what happened was that this woman, now this police officer, I'll say first, had faced a pair of federal lawsuits during his career. And one, he was acquitted for attacking and falsely imprisoning a man after a June 2011 concert on the Lower East Side. Now, this is Officer Sergeant Barry, Sergeant Hugh Barry, who fired fatal shots into this lady. In the other case, it was settled for $25,000 after he allegedly pepper sprayed and then beat a man on 42nd Street in Midtown. A Westchester County neighbor of the office said she was sorry, of the officer rather, said she was sorry to learn about what happened. And all I can say is that they are wonderful people, the woman told the Daily News. Now, the lady, Ms. Danner, was acting in an irrational manner and threatened Barry and his team with a pair of scissors. I mean, really? Scissors, rock scissors, paper gun? And Barry had persuaded Danner to drop the scissors she was threatening cops with, but shot her twice when she swung a baseball bat at him. Now, come on. This is a 66. You mean to tell me you couldn't subdue a 66-year-old lady? I mean, really? Now, Danner who had tweeted. Now, she was crazy, but she wasn't that crazy. She was able to tweet in July about altering the Second Amendment to stop gun violence in the streets, was rushed to Jacoby Medical Center but couldn't be saved. Now, the new police commissioner who just took over for Bratton, was it Bratton? Yeah, took over for Bratton. I said, our policy is to isolate and contain. And what's clear in this instance is that we failed. When life is taking as it was last night, you have to ask tough questions, and that's what we'll do. You know. So, you know, this is what happened. Now, this lady should not have been shot. I mean, twice, no less, because she had a baseball bat. I mean, really. You couldn't take a baseball bat from a lady who was 4 years away from 70 and give me a break. So this is an ongoing investigation, of course. This Sergeant Hugh Barry was stripped of his badge and gun after he fired two bullets. Now, you remember, some of you, well, you may not all remember Eleanor Bumpers. I'll bring it up right now. I should have brought it up earlier. Eleanor Bumpers, who was shot years ago. I'll bring it up in a second. Let me put it on my screen. Eleanor Bumpers was shot in 1984. Now, this is almost the same thing. Eleanor Bumpers was also mentally ill. This was 32 years ago. Eleanor Bumpers was hit by a shotgun blast after reportedly lunging at police with a knife. It was 2 days before Halloween. So it was around about this time in 1984, the same age, 66 years old, Eleanor Bumpers, suffered from psychotic episodes. She was being evicted from the Sedgwick houses in Marmaris Heights when she told housing authority workers she would throw lie on them if they tried to access her apartment. And when the cops entered, that's when Bumpers attacked. Now, Officer Stephen Sullivan fired two shots from his 12-gauge shotgun, killing her. Now, Sullivan was tried and eventually acquitted in 1987. And 3 years later, the city agreed to pay the Bumpers family $200,000. In the wake of Bumpers' death, members of the NYPD Emergency Service Unit were ordered to carry stun guns. So, with this case, with this lady, Sergeant Barry was supposed to be waiting for ESU guys to come and take over the situation. But now I'm not sure why he didn't wait, but he didn't wait, and he shot this lady. All he had to do was just keep her at bay. She was in her apartment. Where was she going? Keep the lady at bay until help arrived, people who were more prepared to handle the situation. So now the NYPD is in a stink, and this is eerily similar to Eleanor Bumpers in 1984, who was the same age and also suffered from mental problems. You know, so this is what's going on. So we'll keep you posted on that story as it develops. In any case, it's 9:30 the hour. It's the Kelly Show. It's on blogtalkradio.com. Shout out to the peoples out there. Shout out to my shout out to my genetics who are broadcasting fellow graduates who I spent some grueling time last year going through the course and everything, and shout out to some of the folks who I graduated with. They're out there doing their thing, trying to make it in this business. It's extraordinarily tough business. And I'll tell you why at another time. But anyway, it's Ron Kelly Show for right now. And once again, everybody preparing. There's wild parties going on for Hillary Trump 3. And it's probably going to top ratings from last time. Now, the first time was the biggest one. The first time, I think it was around 80 million people. Hillary Trump 2 was a little less, around 60 million. But this one here is probably going to top all three of them because it's the last one. So we're going to see what's going to happen with this debate thing. You know, I'm hopeful that Chris Wallace, you know, Chris Wallace is Fox News Fox News anchor is going to be the moderator for this, and I'm hoping that Chris Wallace can get to some substantive, you know, something, because it's been all about emails, Benghazi, you know, Trump's grabbing women by private parts, and you know, Bill Clinton, who's not even running. Obama's brother is there. Just total nonsense. It's more like, you know, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus than it is about an election. You know, the GOP, the Republicans, are wringing their hands right now because it's a possibility that they could lose. If Trump loses big, there's a possibility that the down the ballot candidates, meaning Senate and Republican candidates, Senate and congressional candidates, I should say, will lose too. And that'll mean that the Senate and the House will go into the Democrat side. Now, a lot of Republicans already are saying that if Hillary wins, they're not going to honor any Supreme Court nominee that she puts up. Now, that's ridiculous, because you have to do your job. You know, there's supposed to be nine members of the Supreme Court. There's only eight. There should be nine. So there needs to be nine, because you need one person to be a tiebreaker. And we've had several pieces of legislation that were the Supreme Court deadlocked on. We weren't able to get passed. So this needs to happen. But some of the Republicans have already said that they weren't going to push anything through of Hillary. And see, this is what the problem is. You know, it's just so ridiculous. You know, who suffers? The American public, the American people. You and I, we wind up suffering because of this nonsense that's going on. All right, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's here on blogtalkradio.com. It's 27 minutes before the hour, everybody. We're here every weekday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for those. I'm checking the numbers. I'm checking the I guess I was reading it wrong. I'm checking the ratings, and the ratings, we're doing pretty good. We expected to get bigger and better more people find out the show is back on. And one time we were doing spectacularly, and then I took the show off of Block Talk. But it has gotten better. The software is better. You know, the station operates better. The studio operates better. So we decided to come back and put it back on until we can move on to another station. But what do you guys know about facial recognition software? Does anybody even know about that? Facial recognition software. Do you know anything about it? Because half of us now, there's probably, you know, and I really wasn't even really paying attention to it, but half of the United States of America is captured on facial recognition databases. Half of U.S. adults, 117 million Americans, according to a report that calls for greater oversight and reviews for possible racial bias. Now, the report called the Perpetual Lineup found that roughly half of all U.S. adults are included in facial recognition databases, and 16 states allowed law enforcement officials to run searches against driver's license photos databases without warrants, which is a highly problematic finding, according to the report released Tuesday by Georgetown's Law Center on Privacy and Technology. We know very little about these systems, says the report. We don't know how they impact privacy and civil liberties. We don't know how they address accuracy problems. And we don't know how any of these systems, local, state, or federal, affect racial and ethnic minorities. Now, yeah, and you see people on, and I just kind of laugh when I see people on Facebook posting this nonsensical statement that says that you're not allowed, you're telling Facebook that they're not allowed to use your image. I mean, and I just laugh when I see people typing that, because they already use your image. They already use your information. They already use whatever it is. How do you think Facebook is worth so much money because there's a billion people there and there's a billion potential clients. There's a billion potential customers on Facebook. And all your information is already being used. So I just kind of chuckle when I see people doing that because there's nothing you can do. You know, if you're worried about the social media and your information getting lost, and just log off. Just don't use social media because there's no way you're going to control what they do with your information. Anytime you buy something, anytime you log on to a page, you know whatever you're doing on the internet is being monitored by somebody. So there's no way. I mean, for you can say what you want about. Don't use my information. You don't even know they're using the information in ways that we'll never ever know. You know, there's no privacy anymore. And a lot of folks on Facebook post all their information about themselves anyway. The drug use, recovery, and, you know, when they're in a hospital, they post pictures of themselves in a hospital and. I'm here, I'm there. I mean, if somebody wants to shoot you or somebody wants to kill you, all you have to do is just read your page, and eventually you'll post where you are, and they can just come get you. So why even bother to post this nonsense about they can't use information? They're going to use information anyway. They've been using information for years. All the time you've been on Facebook, when you go on Facebook, they make your profile, how old you are, where were you born, and what do you like? Don't you think that this information is being sold? It's being used? Just like when you buy something online, they create databases and they sell them to other people. They sell them to other companies. And there's billions and billions of dollars being made on information about you that's being traded around. So for anybody, you can post your little statement on Facebook saying I have the right to tell you that you can't use my information, but you'll beat the dead horse because your information has already been used. The Legislative Council for the American Civil Liberties Union says that half of all adults in the country are in government face recognition databases. The vast majority of law enforcement agencies using this technology lacks clear policies and or audits to ensure accuracy and transparency. So this has been, you know, they've been using information for years. So you can post that nonsense on Facebook about you don't use my information, blah, blah, blah. Facebook is worth over $100 billion. Now, do you really think that they're worried about you? Really? Do you really think that they're worried about you? Okay. They are, I can tell you they are not. I can tell you they are not worried about you. They are not worried about you. All right. So what we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back, and we'll do our last segment after this break. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Broadcast into the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show. Yeah, yeah. The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effect does marching have on society?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide of any.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go.
Welcome back.
Welcome. Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it is theronkellyshow.com. The website, the official website of the Ron Kelly Show is theronkellyshow.com. Need to be some tweaking needs to be done over there. I'm in the process of finding somebody, tweak it, and get it together. But in the meantime, you can go to theronkellyshow.com. You can actually order official merchandise from the Ron Kelly Show on this website, along with some other tidbits and some things you might like. So check it out, theronkellyshow.com. On Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and on Twitter, it's R. Kelly Show. All right, President Obama has very, very popular at the moment. President Obama's approval rating is soaring it's right now. The most recent polls for the president, let's put it like this, the most recent polls for President Obama, which is going to be a problem for the Republicans moving forward. Now, a Gallup poll from the 8th to the 11th of this year has President Obama's approval rating at 54%. Fox News from the 3rd to the 6th is of 2016 is 52%. CBS News from the end of October to the beginning of September is 55%. And the CNN ORC poll from the same time period is 55%. So President Obama's approval ratings are extremely high. So he's going to go out on a bang, with a bang, rather. And his lowest approval rating, of course, is in a coal mining country, which is his approval rating in West Virginia is 24%, which is to be expected. You know what I'm saying? That's to be expected because that area of the country is antithetical to black folks anyway. You know, West Virginia, you know, it's a Republican stronghold anyway. But President Obama doing very well overall. As the, you know, he's going out with the bang. You know, sorry to see the president go. Him and the first lady have endured. Oh, man, you know, the president and the first lady have endured the most heinous, you know, some of the most trifling, just horrific things that are being said about the president and first lady and even their daughters, the monkeys and gorillas and, you know, and white people, you need to stop referring to us, you know, with monkeys and gorillas. Now, we're not monkeys or gorillas. You know, and I highly resent that. Well, white people, some white people, are using caricatures of monkeys and gorillas to illustrate black Americans. We're effing monkeys or gorillas. You know, we are people. We deserve to be treated as people. And I'm sick of this, you know, these people on LinkedIn with their, oh, you know, the singing Kumbaya and all this stuff on LinkedIn. And I hope that some of the people from LinkedIn are listening because I went to the Smithsonian African American Museum for African American history. And culture. I was there. I was there last week. Had a great time. The place is very well done. Very well done. The attention to detail, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful place. The attention to detail, how they set it up, you know, the displays and everything are fantastic. They really are. And they did an excellent job. And it wasn't cheaply done. I mean, they thought about it, and it's well done. And I went there last week because I was in D.C. for a couple of days. I wanted to go down because I'd been to D.C. before, but I'd never been to I'd never gone down there as a tourist. But I've been down there, but I've never went anywhere near the historical points of the nation's capital. So this time, I was on vacation last week. I just went down there for a couple of days, and I got a chance to see some things. And that museum, the Smithsonian Museum for African American Culture, was very, very well done. And I went in there. I spent about 3 hours there. My fiance, we were there for about 3 hours. There's so much to see. It's not just a walkthrough. I mean, there's so much to see, to read, to experience. They had the train car where they transferred slaves. And I didn't come out of there angry. You know, I didn't come out angry because a lot of, you know, for the most part, many of us see these things and we come out angry. You know, so I didn't come out angry. I came out inspired because I learned a lot that we didn't learn in school. So I came out of there inspired. It's a great look. I think that anybody who's in D.C., take a look down there. There were a lot of white people there, and I was encouraged by that because, you know, there seems to be a disconnect between us and them. Now, there are a lot of white folks who haven't been racist, who have been good Americans, who have never perpetrated racism on anybody, and who have been loving and caring people. And see, and because of that, what has happened is that they haven't seen anything. See, what you don't see, you don't believe, in other words. So they haven't been racist, so they don't believe there is racism. Racism is very prevalent in the United States of America, very prevalent. And there are a lot of people who haven't perpetrated racism on anybody, so they don't really actually believe it. But racism does exist. I'm here to tell you it does exist. And white people who haven't been racist, the ones who have been, who have treated black Americans like regular Americans, those of you who have done that need to go down there or need to get more, access your resources for African American culture and black history. You need to do that because if this way you'll find out that, you know, you'll get in touch with the fact there is racism in banking and finance and housing and, you know, and so many different things, even in armed services and police departments. And, you know, it's all over the place. You know, Mike Pence, just running mate, likes to say that, you know, there is no institutional racism. Move away from it. Okay, let's move away from it. Let's stop it. If we stop it, maybe we can move away from it. You know, if we stop it, maybe we can move away from it. So, you know, folks, I was very encouraged to see white folks down there in the place. And they were doing, you know, they were checking out the very attentive. They were checking out the displays and the historical data that was there. And I was encouraged. And I'm sure those folks came out of there feeling differently about how they may have felt before they walked in there. So shout out to the folks, Smithsonian, who created that museum. They did a very, very good job. It's well worth the visit. And also, I did go to the Martin King Memorial. It's located in the park about a mile or so away from the Smithsonian statue of not necessarily a statue. It's more like a Rushmore type of deal. With this giant granite rock, and Dr. King's image is carved into it. So it's very, very fitting, I think, that monument was there. So definitely, if you haven't been down to the nation's capital, you know, to the White House and so on and so forth, I think it's a great idea. I went to the White House. I didn't go inside, but I was able to get up to the – but they won't let you go near the fence anymore. And Pennsylvania Avenue is closed. Now, people used to be able to drive down that street, Pennsylvania Avenue, but that portion of Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House is shut down. You can't even drive down. You have to park a block or two away and walk over to the White House. So that's what we did, and we were able to see the White House. I guess the president was coming back as they made us go across the street into the park. And the security is, shall I say, very, very tight. All right, 646-668-2838. You got 10 minutes to call. 646-668-2838 is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's right here on blogtalkradio.com. All right, so about an hour from now, I guess, it's the Hillary and Trump 3, the last debate. And let's hope, let's pray that they talk about something other than emails and Trump grabbing private parts of women, because I tell you the truth, myself personally, I'm not interested. I don't care about those emails. Nothing happened. The information wasn't compromised. It didn't drop into the hands of Russians or whatever, because they hack it into the systems anyway. So, you know what? I'm not going to use her line and say what difference does it make, but they're hacking into the systems. And what Hillary did, she was arrogant and she made a mistake, and she admitted she made a mistake. She shouldn't have done it. And she was arrogant about it. And she didn't think she had to answer to anybody. I mean, that's the take that I got anyway, that she didn't think she had to answer to anybody. And she just kind of just snubbed her nose at it. But when it came down to it, when she had to address it, she did. When she had to address it, she did. So I'm like, well, okay. All right. Freaking move on. You know, all right, Trump, you know, everybody knows Trump's a dog. You know, when, you know, Ivanka, who helped him start his empire, and when she got a little old, he dumped her, you know, for Marla Maples. And then he dumped her for Melania. So we know he's a dog. We know. But Bill Clinton was one, too. Allegedly. So it doesn't preclude him from going to the White House. My problem with Trump is not his, you know, I don't have a problem with his, you know, how he deals with women. That's his business. If women want to stand there and be abused, and I say this, don't take it lightly. I'm totally against any type of abuse, spousal abuse, sexual abuse, date rape, whatever you want to call it. I'm against all of that. But I don't care about Trump's sexual prep. I mean, he's a 70-year-old guy. I mean, how much sex is he having right now anyway? Probably not much. Even though he's got a gorgeous wife, Melania. She's in her 40s. He's in his 70s. I mean, what's going on in that bedroom? Not much. So, I don't care about that. What I care about is taxes. For example, I'm a single guy. I'm not married anymore. And I pay a lot of taxes. So my concern is taxes. I'm concerned about taxes, the economy, border security, immigration, you know, the Syrian refugees thing. And I'm against that unless they can be properly vetted. And I don't know if they can be. And I'm against President Obama trying to bring 100,000 Syrian refugees into this country. I mean, we can't take care of everybody. What about the people who are already here, who are already going through it, who are already struggling to keep their heads above water? And now you got a bunch of Syrian refugees coming in. And this isn't about their a bunch of refugees, I should say. I don't want to make reference to their ethnic origins. But we got enough of them. We have enough problems already. And now we're bringing in more people. And those people are going to have places to stay. And they're going to have to be fed and clothed and housed. And we're already at the breaking point. I mean, okay, the economy is doing a little bit better than it did when Obama got here 8 years ago, but we still need to look out for our own. Now, there are a couple of things that Trump says that does resonate with me, like taking care of our own, but you know, the United States of America is a – well, let me put it like this. I don't necessarily – I'm not a fan of the global economy because, like, when something happens overseas, it has it resonates here, like Brexit, for example, when Great Britain exited the European Union and the effect that it had on the Dow Jones Industrial Average here in America, that dropped like 300-400 points because of something that happened overseas. So I have kind of a problem with that, too. And I think we should look out for ourselves more. Foreign aid should be cut. To only because there are places like Ecuador, for example. Ecuador is housing Julian Assange in their embassy. So Ecuador should be cut off. They should be cut off. You know, unless it's tantamount to our, you know, to our strategic interests. Any country that's not strategically, where we don't really need them, I should say, to make it plain, we should cut that aid, because the United States government gives out a lot of money to foreign aid. In some countries, we need to have bases in Turkey and some of the other places. We need to have bases, and you got to pay. Okay, I get that. The Baltic states, there are, you know, we have installations over there, and we have to pay, okay, because those are strategically strategic positions that we need for our national security. So yes, then if that's the case, then we should do what we need to do to keep those installations there, especially those of ones near Russia, which is our biggest threat. Say what you say about the economy, but they're still our biggest threat. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to this debate tonight. I think that Hillary is going to try to be presidential, and Trump is going to throw the kitchen sink at her because he knows he's sinking in the polls. He's in the battleground states, Ohio. I think he's still leading Ohio by a point, but Pennsylvania he's losing, Nevada he's losing, and his campaign is headed south. So he's going to be throwing a kitchen sink at Hillary, I'm sure. There's going to be a lot of Benghazi, a lot of Clinton Foundation. Well, he can't really talk about the Clinton Foundation because his own Trump Foundation has been slapped with a cease and desist order from the Attorney General of the state of New York, Eric Schneiderman. And I understand that recently Trump's foundation did agree to the cease and desist order, and they agreed to stop raising money in New York because it's alleged that Trump's foundation used money that was supposed to be earmarked for something else, and they used it for attorneys' fees. So he can't say too much about the Clinton Foundation, and you notice that he has stopped talking about that because his own foundation is under scrutiny. But there will be Benghazi, as I said. He invited Patricia Smith, who is the mother of Sean Smith, who was a aide to the Ambassador Stevens, who was the ambassador to Libya at the time. He was an aide to the ambassador when the embassy was overrun, and Ambassador Stevens and three others, along with Sean Smith, were killed by rebels or whoever it was that ran into that embassy. So there's going to be a lot. So I predict there's going to be a lot of Benghazi. There's going to be a lot of Bill Clinton. There won't be so much of the Clinton Foundation. That one's kind of died down a little bit. But there will be emails. There will be talk of the State Department head, State Department spokesperson, who allegedly colluded with the FBI to get some of Hillary's emails declassified, because that's come out too from the WikiLeaks email drop. So that's going to be a lot of that too. So it's going to be drama. It's going to be drama, I promise you. All right, everybody, that's about it. We've got about a minute and a half left of the program. So I do truly thank you guys for listening to the Ron Kelly Show. Those of you who listen, those of you who watch, the show is not where I would like for it to be right now, but you know, I'm hoping that if I just stay on it and keep bringing it to you, that eventually the show will take off and get to where I would like for it to be, with God's grace and mercy. All right, so everybody, get yourselves together, get your popcorn ready, because the debate is going to jump off in about an hour, and I will be watching and taking notes and doing what I need to do. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this evening. We'll see you back here tomorrow night for a recap of the debate, Hillary Trump 3, and in the spin room and whatever else is being said tonight by the talking heads, including myself. All right, everybody. So thanks a lot. Appreciate you. And we'll see you back here tomorrow night for the recap and all the other news and current events that I like to talk about here on the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, everybody, take care of yourself. And remember to be safe out there.